Welcome to this Freight Waves 3PL Summit. I'm Thomas Wasson, trucking expert here, and super excited to be talking about not only AI, but how it's impacting analytics and changing the way freight brokerages are looking at strategy. And joining me to talk about that is Brian Armieri, managing partner with Third Axiom Solutions. And Brian, before we dive in, tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, well, thank you. Excited to be here. Yes, I'm Brian Armieri, one of the co-founders of Third Axiom Solutions. Where since about 2002, we've been delivering decision intelligence and AI software built specifically for brokers, 3PLs, shippers. And our goal and our passion at Third Axiom is delivery of cost-effective and high return on investment analytics and AI to our customers. Before Third Axiom, I first came to transportation when my consulting company was hired way back in 2001 by a little TMS company called Mercurygate, which at that point was just this small startup that had unfortunately launched just as the dot-com bubble burst. And so, you know, we powered through that first year and I went on to have an amazing 18-year career there. Experiences were great, helping Mercurygate grow into a strong market leader. 12 of those years, I was Mercurygate's chief technology officer. And I learned so much there from so many great 3PLs, brokers, shippers, great people, for sure. Before I worked in transportation, I was developing software for some of the big financial and consulting companies, Bank of America, Accenture, and the like. Helped develop enterprise reporting solutions at some really big in universities like Cornell University. And I spent my whole career in software and information technology. And way back in 93, 94, when I was doing my master's thesis, I was doing AI development using neural networks. So believe me, when I say a lot of this AI technology that we talk about today, it's been around for a while. And I'm excited to talk about it here with you today.
Well, I think that's such a great point because the early part of the neural networks, the technology and the stuff behind it didn't just come out of nowhere. There's a legacy of it. And we're talking about 3PLs, the AI, the analytics, the capability. Given your background, you've gotten to see this whole thing mature, even the rise of these tech-savvy digital freight brokerages. What's the current state of their backgrounds and what have been kind of the biggest thing you've seen?
Well, if you ask that question five times, four of the times you're going to hear some variation of this answer, right? They're going to start breaking down analytics into the different types because it's such a broad term. So look, most 3PLs are all working really hard and mostly delivering on good descriptive analytics that report on what happened or what is happening. The least common denominator is Excel reports. We all know and love our Excel. And they can be at worst, if you need to, you can push that stuff manually out the door, right? Lots of people out there are building reports manually, but they get it out the door. A fewer subset of those 3PLs are delivering predictive analytics that look forwards to forecast and model what will happen in the near future. If they're telling you they can predict what's going to happen in the far future, no, that's probably not likely, but near future prediction is a real thing. But I mean, if you read all the AI hype, it seems as if everyone is you know, quote unquote, predicting disruptions, right? I think that term makes people feel better in this age post-COVID. But yeah, I think the reality is a little more complicated than that. And then an even smaller number diving into a diagnostic analytics that try and look at the why of something happened and detect anomalies. And then finally, the prescriptive analytics that are providing decision support or decision automation. And those are the least commonly found unless they're offered within a tool, maybe within the TMSs that the 3PLs are using or the other tools.
Yeah, it's like, that's why I was curious, because it's a lot to digest as well, especially the descriptive versus prescriptive. And it does feel like you mentioned, everyone's really good at chasing their tail, but looking ahead, that feels like a very big challenge.
Yeah, it is. And look, when you talk about analytics, you know, look at the 3PLs, so many of them, they're such varied size and they're doing such different things. So to look at the big 3PL picture, all 3PLs, I'd say, you know, in three words, the state is fragmented, fragmented, fragmented. There's a lot of disparity between the haves and the have-nots, a really big disparity. Some organizations are invested so heavily in everything, in data science teams and large-scale technical infrastructure, expensive software tools. They're all in on building it all themselves in-house or getting the best tools. And then on the opposite end, we've got those smaller organizations that they just don't have those budgets available to them. And they might be relying on what they get out of their one TMS or Excel, and some staff may be dedicated to getting some things out the door on that scheduled basis. And that's all really interesting to see. And I wonder how those budgets are going to go in the medium term, because out there in the tech world, the Googles and the Metas, they're reducing headcount, right? That maybe in the AI departments, maybe not. But look, for sure, I don't think it's a stretch to say that as these trends continue, there's just going to be increasing pressure on data science teams, on IT, all industries, not just transportation, to justify their analytics cost, justify all those dollars that they're spending on analytics.
And that kind of highlights one of the challenges. Everyone says AI like a buzzword, but speaking to some data science folks in my experiences, would there be additional pressure on even making sure the data is structured and organized, trying to tell people that this data we're receiving has to be changed a certain way, and then trying to convince them to do it? Because a lot of this AI has to, it feels to me like it's like an Italian sports car. It can go really fast, but if you don't do the right maintenance, you're not going to go very far.
Absolutely. You definitely are going to have to invest in getting your data ready. I think that the interesting thing to note about the market is that you can find a vendor. It's one of the things that we do for our customers, who at a very hopefully reasonable price point can help you. If you don't have those skills, you don't have all the IT people, and maybe even have the skills, but they're just already involved in current projects, go find a reasonably priced partner who can go help you do that. So data prep in turn is one of the big considerations. If you're going to use any of this technology, not just AI, but if you're going to get even good analytics that aren't using, they're more decision intelligence is more than just AI, but they all need clean data to get some results. And in AI in particular, there are some additional considerations for sure that you want to take into account, if you're going to embark, on AI.
And talking about these big questions and considerations and answers, I liked your comments earlier about the haves and the have-nots, because I do feel like that's really going to determine, one, are you a have or a have-not? And two, what can I do with that? Back in my days, I always felt like pricing in relation to specific lane information would be good. But do you feel there's a unified approach towards asking these big questions? Are these big questions common amongst all types of 3PLs? Or do you really have to look at certain things based on your size and capabilities?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are some use cases that are classic, and everyone is probably trying to do them. And so that's always a great place to start when you want to get into the mindset of how to use things. If we focus in specifically on AI, because I know that's a good buzzword. So this is a subset of analytics now, is these AI capabilities. There's three things that they're known for, right? And it's classification, prediction, and anomaly detection, right? So ask yourself the question, it's important to have someone helping you answer the question, what's important for our business to classify or predict, and what kinds of anomalies are important to the business? So, I talked a little bit before, starting to talk about how you can really leverage your own data. If you want to use a technology like AI, I think of things in terms of table stakes and competitive advantage. Table stakes are less interesting, right? Your customers are going to tell you if there's something you need to do that AI is offering that they absolutely expect you to do and that they want right now and they value it, right? So the market's going to tell you if you should go do that thing right now. And even if you wait and let that technology mature, then you're going to be in a great position, because that's the kind of stuff you probably can adopt a little faster and maybe a lot cheaper if you just wait. So the table stakes takes care of itself. But the competitive advantage, that's where it's a lot more interesting, but also a lot harder, because you have to do something unique, right? If you're going to use market data, absolutely, you need market data. It's going to help your business. Like maybe it can help you reduce costs or something. But it's not necessarily unique and going to offer you a competitive advantage unless you're using it in some special way or you can do something else. So competitive advantage, good news, bad news. Bad news, you have to do something unique. Good news, you can use your own data to find competitive advantage. So go ahead and start combining your data that's maybe telling you something that you can't get from a market rate, right? If you have a customer moving from A to B, maybe for you, that customer is going to have something special, some sort of accessorial, some sort of cost there that only applies to you, and a market rate's never going to tell you that. So if you're looking to predict something, your data may give you insights. And if you blend it together with the market data, you're going to get the best answer possible. But Thomas, you made that great point, right? I have to be careful and have the clean data when I do that, right? Because what if it's an anomaly? What if I have some data out there and it looks like my average is a lot higher for this one customer? And you say, yeah, let me blend that with the current market rate and then I'm going to get a better rate. No, you had an anomaly in your data. You should have thrown out some data points. And so you need someone who can sort of take that knowledge and has a little bit of that expertise. And that's why people do invest in people who are qualified to do that, data scientists. But there are other alternatives to do that too. Tools can help you with that. Someone like a Third Axiom can help you with that as well.
I think that's a great idea because brokerages struggle with data, structuring it in noise versus a signal. And I noticed that even when pricing, looking at analytics data, you'd have that customer that would send that data, but it would weigh it down to such an extent. And the rudimentary AI tools that were describing a situation were actually making it worse because commodity, customer, location, buying power, all these things that brokerages have. When we're looking at these changes and we want to say that if I'm a large broker, I'm one of the haves, I want to come up with that advantage. What are some things that you recommend, or what are you observing that, how do we fundamentally change is this a KPI change? Is this a culture change? Is this, like you said, bringing outside experts, or how can I turn that in? Because I've seen it where they get burned many times looking at bad data, making bad decisions, and then they suffer for it on either margins lost or strategic errors.
You know, when you're trying to consider whether something like a good analytics initiative, whether and AI within it is really going to change KPIs, I think if the company commits to becoming truly data-driven, then in a lot of cases, yes, those KPIs are absolutely going to change. Because if the KPIs that they were looking at before were operationally focused instead of strategically focused, being data-driven is a larger play than just using AI. So a commitment to being data-driven is a much surer bet. And you'll keep getting new ongoing wins rather than just trying to get value out of a few single AI-specific plays, which may or may not work and can fall into the traps that you're talking about there. So being truly data-driven in your organization, it's an ongoing process and the right road to analytics success. And it's three things. It means develop strong analytics capability, yes. But you have to also, second thing, apply an experimental approach, an experimental mindset to your business. And then the third thing is keeping a strategic focus. So, and if you deploy your analytics that way to make an organization data-driven, that's where you see these compounding return on investment and where you're minimizing the risks that you're talking about of falling into these traps of trying to find this one-off solution that's great for everything. No, go data-driven. Management knows their business strategically. So give everyone the right related and targeted data insights up and down that management chain so everyone can plan that very next step better and make a more informed choice. And as the business tries a strategy, measure the effect of that change on your data. When the data finally demonstrates that there's a proper course of action, that your corrective action that strategically you thought was going to make things better, whether it does or doesn't, when it shows that it's actually working, then if possible, set up to automate that decision-making. And if you can't automate it, that's fine, but at least keep things monitored to move forward and make sure there's no backsliding, and then watch for those environmental changes that cause those new but predictable disruptions. Rewarding the organization when it does all these things and it becomes data-driven, most organizations need to grow into this approach. It's super critical to reward everyone when they start following these kinds of steps I'm talking about. And that, in a nutshell, is what it means to be data-driven. And that's the approach that when you follow it, the technology proves itself. You're not looking for that one win. You're looking for how to use it over and over for all the wins.
I like it. It's not just AI. You got to have the strategy behind it. Brian, if folks want to learn more, get in contact, find out more information on how they can move forward towards that strategic goal making in addition to AI, what's the best way to find out?
Yeah, well, certainly, you can reach me on LinkedIn, Brian Armiri. You can come to our website, www.thirdaxiom.com. And love to talk to you about anything we've discussed today.
Amazing stuff. Appreciate your time as well. That's going to be a wrap for this Fireside Chat. But don't worry, folks, a lot more great content coming up.